you got wet pavement and dry. It's just like it's just spotty, but it's just great. God knows what we need. Let's all stand, if you will. We'll go to the Lord in prayer this evening. We're going to ask, are there any spoken prayer requests on my right side? Yes, sister. Yes. Definitely will. Definitely will. Miss Lori. Oh, goodness. Exactly. Exactly. I know they've got those steps. Amen. We'll do that. Anyone else on my right side with the spoken prayer? Sister Susan? Absolutely. We'll definitely listen. Anyone else on the right side tonight? Anyone on my left side with a spoken prayer request? All righty. Anyone in the back? Okay. Praise the Lord. Him in our prayers for sure. And there's so many too. I know there are those going through tests or those going through procedures right now. And also those recovering. I know God, as you said, would give them the steps that they can qualify to either to be lifted up or whatever the, you know, he needs to be done so they can be released. So we just praise the Lord. Any unspoken prayer requests, just show by the raising. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your holy name. Lord, we thank you again, dear Lord, for allowing us to gather in your house and in your name. Dear Lord, as we come together, dear Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord. Lord, ready just to worship you and to receive the word that you have prepared for us tonight. Dear Lord, as we come together, dear Lord, may we humbly pray for each and every prayer request that's gone forth, dear Lord, those spoken and unspoken. Lord, we know there are those in recovery. There are those going through procedures right now, Lord, that really need your touch. Dear Lord, I know that you can lift them up. Those that need strengthening in their bodies, dear Lord, to go to the next level of healing. Those that are being diagnosed with situations, dear Lord, that they don't see an answer. But dear Lord, we're putting our faith in you and you alone, dear Lord. We thank you for your love, dear Lord. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, we just humbly want to just lift you up and honor you, dear Lord. And as we start this service again, dear Lord, may we just put you first. And Lord, let you minister to us. Or let the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, have a free ring amongst each and every one of us. We ask you to bless our pastor and his family, strengthen them. Lord, we ask you to bless each and every ministry that goes forth out of this service, from the children all the way up through the adults. Dear Lord, we ask you to guide us, to lead us, dear Lord, that we'll put you first in every endeavor. Lord, we just praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. All right, we're just going to go ahead and turn to page 240, when the roll is called up yonder, and I'm going to ask Miss Penny to crank up her mic for the 80 years on. When the roll is called up yonder, praise God. E flat?
E flat?
That's what's written in the book,
yeah.
But I don't know if that's what you use. Just a little lower. Amen. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning break eternal bright and fair, when the saved on earth will gather on the other shore, and the road yonder, I'll be there. Amen. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of His resurrection shared. Thank you, Lord. When His chosen ones shall gather to home beyond the sky, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all His wondrous love and care. Yes. And when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning break eternal bright and fair. When the saved on earth shall gather on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the road is called up yonder, when the road is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. If you can't sing that without a smile and like joy in your heart, just know everything's prepared for us. It's just a matter of us accepting Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Praise God. Good to have y'all with us tonight. Just love the Lord with all of you. Welcome online that's watching us to First Pentecost on Villa Rica. If you have a prayer need or request, please put it in the comment section. Or if you have a praise report, we just want to lift that up. We want to lift God up. He deserves all the praise and glory that He can receive. We're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering. And got a couple of announcements here to mention. Don't forget, Vacation Bible School 2022. Starts this Sunday evening, July 10th. It's going to go from the 10th through the 13th. Sunday night is the kickoff. Please make plans to come. It'll be a wonderful time. Bring your little ones, bring the grandkids and all involved. And we're looking for a mighty time. Also, as I mentioned the other day, and I think we already are, just keep each and every one that's involved in Vacation Bible School, from the children all the way up to the leaders, those that work behind the scene, from the kitchen all the way through. Keep them in your prayers, not only for God, you know, for God just to touch and anoint, but also to strengthen those that are, like I said, working from behind the scenes. And also, I just say this many, many times, and the little ones and the young ones, you know, they're just a fertile field. And may those seeds be planted, may it be cultivated or watered, whatever level those children are in right now, that they'll know about Jesus. And we just love the Lord. And that's what we're expecting. Also, ladies, there's an outing this Saturday at 12 o'clock p.m. This is for lunch. All ladies are invited to fellowship and time to enjoy each other. It's going to be at the Olive Garden over at Arbor Place Mall, Douglasville, Georgia. So make plans to come. If you need any assistance, please, we can help you get in touch with Sister Linda if there's any other questions to ask. Any other announcements? Praise the Lord. We're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord to bless our offering? Yes, Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, praises.
You know, if y'all haven't been, I've really been worried about that. Me and Sister Karen was talking about it, about that girl, that 16-year-old girl that's got autism, that Kaylee girl. If y'all haven't been praying for her, let's really be praying that they find her. I hope they find her safe because of her, well, because we want her to be safe, but mainly because of her mama and daddy. But let her be found. I would rather my mind be put to ease than where the death of where one of my children were. So y'all just lift her up to the Lord, please. Ready? They say there'll be no tears in heaven, but I can understand. For the things that make us cry won't be found in that land. There'll be no pain or sorrow, we'll never be sad again. The joy will never end. It'll be hard not to cry when we finally step inside and see our loved ones there. It's been so long. And when I walk up to his throne, the joy I've never known, it'll be hard, so very hard not to cry. Now you can say that I'm emotional, crying's always been easy for me, whether because my heart is heavy or my joy ecstatically. So I will pray that when I get there, realize my race is through. It'll be hard to hold the tears back when it all comes into view. It'll be hard not to cry when we find and see our loved ones there. It's been so long. And when I walk up to his throne and feel the joy I've never known, it'll be hard, so very hard.
Well, I'm going to sing one of my three songs, but this is, I think, is my favorite. And I tried to get off on something else, but this is my favorite. And the Lord just said, just go ahead and sing it. So I hope it blesses somebody else besides me. Remind me, dear Lord, because when I start complaining, I pray, Lord, remind me how good I have it. Because he has blessed us so much, and I don't ever want to take that for granted. Like we said, all the little things he does for us, all the big things, you know, just our breath every day. But I really love him, and I thank him for everything, and I want him to remind me of all the blessings. The things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus, only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. Nothing good have I done to deserve God's own Son. I'm not worthy of the scars in His hands. Yet He chose the road to Calvary to die in my stead. Why He loved me, I can't understand. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord.
That exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make your choice, and I entered the haven of rest. I anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wide stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. I yielded myself to His tender embrace, and faith taking hold of the feathers fell off, and I anchored my soul. The haven of rest is my Lord. I'll anchor my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wide stormy deep. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah is a universal praise unto the Lord. You can go anywhere in this world and say hallelujah, and they'll know what you're talking about. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. G, I guess. He lets me walk down roads. He lets me walk down roads of disappointment. He watches and he knows what's best for me. My greatest strength comes through my darkest trials. And my greatest joy is knowing that he can trust in me. That's just his way of telling me he loves me. Love beyond all human understanding. I won't question trials that bring me to my knees. That's just his way of telling me he loves me. If I'm successful walking through this valley, he'll give me strength to climb the highest hill. The more I'm tried, the better he can mold me, change my life completely to fit his perfect will. That's just his way of telling me he loves me. Love beyond all human understanding. I won't question trials that bring me to my knees. That's just his way telling me he loves me. You know, the second verse says, if I'm successful walking through this valley, he'll give me strength to climb the highest hill. Now, I want you to look at this next line. The more I'm tried, the better he can mold me. Sometimes we don't like to be tried. We don't like the fire. We don't like the valleys. That's when we experience basically most of our spiritual growth. The more I'm tried, the better he can mold me and change my life completely to fit his perfect will. If I'm successful walking through this valley, he'll give me strength to climb the highest hill. The more I'm tried, the better He can mold me and change my life completely to fit His perfect will. That's just His way of telling me He loves me. Love beyond all human understanding. I won't question trials that bring me to my knees. That's just His way telling me He loves me. How many knows that the Lord loves you tonight? Amen. Praise God. Aren't we glad that He loves us? One song says, He knew me, yet He loved me. That tells me that He loved me when seemingly I was unlovable. Man, but I'm so thankful that He had mercy on me and gave me grace, amen, to live and get an opportunity to give my life to Jesus. My. How good, how great the Lord is. It's good to see you tonight. Hope that you're having a wonderful week. If this is not dog days, then it's pretty hot. If dog days are coming, you better put your dog up because it's hot. But you know what? I'm just glad to be here. Amen. Glad to know that the Lord has given us another day. If you have your Bibles tonight, go with us to the book of Judges. I'm going to talk about a very familiar character in the Bible tonight. A lot has been said. A lot has been preached. A lot has been taught on Samson and his great strength and the great feats that he was able to do. I'm going to look at something just a little bit different tonight concerning the life of Samson. You know, when I was a little boy, I thought when they was preaching on Samson, I thought he was somebody that looked kind of like Charles Atlas, or at that time I didn't know who Arnold Schwarzenegger was, but somebody that had a physique like that. But the more I read about Samson and the more I read about his dependency on God, I don't know that he didn't maybe look like an ordinary person, because the strength that he had was provided by God, kind of came and went at different times. And sometimes he stood out in a crowd until the power of God got a hold of him and he was able to do extraordinary things through the power of God. That lets us to know that we don't have to have the physical characteristics to be able to be used by God. Can you say amen? Because it's not us that's going to get the praise or the glory. It's always going to be pointed to the Lord that gives us strength and power. In the 16th chapter, beginning with verse number 4, and it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. I think I read somewhere that was equivalent to about 100 pounds of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Tell me, Samson, where does your strength come from? How can we bind thee to afflict thee? Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for your graciousness, for your grace, your mercy, and this opportunity that you've given us together here tonight. God, for the desire that you've placed in our hearts. Father, I pray that you would just minister to us. Lord, use this vessel, these lips of clay, God, as you see fit, God, to speak to us that we need to hear, that we may be submissive and obedient to your will. God, let us be able to understand your will tonight, God, what through this message, Lord, that it may grow and produce spiritual strength in our bodies, God, that we'll be that person, God, and that vessel that you can use. And Father, we'll be so careful to give you the praise. We're giving you honor and we give you glory. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Tonight, for a little while, I want to talk about when the enemy uses enticement. When the enemy uses enticement. Entice means to instigate by exciting hope or desire, usually in a bad sense. Probably every one of us can identify with enticement. Isn't it amazing that when you walk through the grocery line or Walmart or some of these stores and you've done your shopping and you've maybe completed your list and you get to the counter and there's all these little items, usually on either side of you. And while you're waiting for the slow person to do the card thing in front of you or whatever, you look over and you kind of see those things, and even though you don't need them, you just kind of say, you know, I might get me one of those. And there's a reason for those items being placed there. You didn't come in there probably to buy those items, but it's little things that, well, I can always use one of these to entice you. And it's a great marketing ploy, by the way, because it causes you to impulse. It's what it's called, impulse items, and something that you just wasn't coming in there to get, but you get it anyway. And Satan has picked up on that. And when I'm talking about the enemy tonight, I'm basically talking about Satan. Now, you'll be using the enemy in reference to what Delilah was doing, but I'm not really calling Delilah the enemy, but the enemy works through people. How many knows that? He does work through people. He works through any vessel that he possibly can. He works through anything that can distort us, that can confuse us, that can make our eyes get off of the Lord and off of his word and onto ourselves and onto our problems and onto our situations. So these are impulse items, and these are things that are enticing to the flesh. And the Bible definition, the Bible definition, Webster gives another definition. It's usually more concerning about the lust of the flesh and that. But here in the biblical definition, it talks about to instigate by exciting hope or desire, usually in a bad sense, to entice somebody to do something, to entice somebody to go somewhere, to entice somebody to say something that maybe they wasn't going to say, but because of the conversation led away, somehow they was able to entice them. This is what the enemy used in this situation. Now, there was a reason that the enemy resorted to enticement. And I want you to understand this, because they could not overcome Samson by strength. Because the strength that Samson had was from Almighty God. Jehovah would come upon him, and he would begin to shake himself, and great strength would come. He was caught and surrounded one time in a city, and they locked him in, and they thought they had him, and all he does is just walk right out of the city and grabs the gate and the post on either sides and could walk completely out of the city holding the gates and the post. They knew that their strength was no match for him. Another occasion, you know, you read in the Bible where he caught these 300 foxes or jackals and tied them together and put torches there and set them free, and they burned down the wheat fields of the Philistines. So he was a pain to the Philistines. The Bible tells us that in this particular time that Judah and Dan was kind of separate part of the of Israel. They kind of went out on their own, so to speak, because there was a little division there and a little controversy, so they kind of struck out on their own, and they were kind of being their own independent nations. But we found out that Dan was no match for the Philistines, and the Philistines began to come in and try to take over Dan. But the children of Israel that were in Dan and in Judah had a judge by the name of Samson, and Samson was their hero. And Samson was doing all of these things to aggravate and to agitate the Philistines. So they were after him, basically. They wanted to take him. The Bible says they wanted to bind him, and they wanted to afflict him, and they wanted to make an example of him, to let Dan and let Judah and the tribes there to know that you're not supposed to be messing with the Philistines, because we're stronger, we're mightier, and we'll overcome you, and we'll take you into captivity, and this, that, and the other. But they could not do that as long as Samson was obedient unto God. Now, you Bible readers know, and you Sunday school students know, that there were some things that Samson had to do in order to maintain his strength. drink V8 juice and go work out. No. He was Nazarene or Nazarite. He could not let a razor come to his head to shave his head. And the other thing was what? Anybody remember? He could not drink strong wine or strong drink or wine. He was not supposed to touch his lips. So those were the two things, the only two things that God told him that he had to avoid. And as long as he did that, he would have this magnificent strength and God would be able to use him. You know, God always seeks out somebody to use. Amen? He took Moses, and Moses probably was the least candidate that you would think because he was a fugitive from Egypt, but he sent him back to Egypt to let the children of Israel go. He chose Jonah. Amen. And Jonah was a backslidden person, and he was running from God, but he chose Jonah anyway. Do you know that even when Jonah did not obey God, God didn't quit dealing with him? That ought to be hope for us, amen, because probably sometimes we have not been submissive and obedient unto God, but that doesn't mean God has quit using us. He comes to us again and says, no, I've still got an opportunity for you to do. So he made a believer out of Jonah. He took Noah and he built an ark and he did all these wonderful things. So God is going to always have somebody, but the power and the majesty and the greatness is not on the person, it's on God. Can you say amen? It always comes from God through man. So he was using Samson mightily. So the Philistines got together and they found out that Samson had a weakness, and that weakness was women. Can I get an amen from some of the men out there? I do not understand or know why they call them the weaker sex. That is not the case in most areas. They may not be physically as strong, but they are strong enough and powerful. Come on, men, say amen. They know how to get their way, and they know how to manipulate, and they know, I mean, all I got to do is say, I'm quit cooking. Okay, baby, whatever you say, you know. So they worked through this weakness, if you call it, that Samson had. So Samson saw Delilah, and the Bible says he loved Delilah, and he loved this woman. And they went to her, and this is the thing. Know that woman. Make sure that she won't throw you under the bus, as the case was with Delilah. So they went to her and they said, and I don't know whether it was the money or whether it was maybe she didn't really, wasn't as true to Samson as she should be, but something in her caused her to be deceitful to him. Maybe it was the allure of the money. I mean, 100 pounds of silver was probably a great amount of money in that particular day. In fact, it would be a lot of money today. So they said, we'll give you this if you find out where his strength comes from. And notice they don't say, we want to kill him. I thought that was kind of interesting too. They didn't want to kill him. They wanted to make a mockery of him. They wanted to make him embarrassed. And they wanted to do that so they could squash the movement or the rebellion that was in Dan and Judah, because they didn't want them coming against the Philistines. They wanted to make an example of Samson. So they made a deal with Delilah. So we find that Delilah is with Samson, and I imagine in her most sensual, delicate voice, begins to manipulate him and tell me, I pray thee. And this is what is very alarming, and this is what we need to take from this story. It doesn't matter how enticing, it doesn't matter how alluring, it doesn't matter how much sense it makes. When the enemy begins to speak to us, we need to understand and know that he doesn't love us. Delilah may have told him, I love you and I'll never betray you or whatever, but deceit was in her mission. And enticement was a weapon that she used. So if the devil comes, and or the Satan or the adversary comes and he tries to promise you this and tries to tell you that and tries to tell you all these other things, you need to first of all understand and know that how that Satan works and know that the adversary is coming against you, and do not buy what he is selling. Do not listen to him. Amen. Just rebuke him, as we've often said. But he came sometimes, or comes sometimes, even as an angel of light. So Delilah, in probably one of the most, and I don't want to get too graphic here, but probably most in one of the most romantic times, she's whispering and she says, you know, basically guiding him and with the conversation, and, you know, come on, Samson, you can tell me. You know, and I'm using that because sometimes if we're not careful, the adversary begin to trick us. He'll begin to whisper almost like a delicate voice. It, you know, I've often said, if he came at me with a pitchfork and a red forky tail, I guarantee you, he would get nowhere with me. And I hope he wouldn't get anywhere with you. And we could see and understand, and we would rebuke him as he get thee behind me, Satan. But see, the devil's learned, the adversary's learned that that doesn't work. She comes in a manipulative way. He comes in enticing you and comes in and whispers you, and, oh, you'll be all right. You don't have to do all that. You don't have to do this, and you don't have to do that. And, you know, at first, Samson kind of went along with it, but he wasn't going along with it. And he should have learned. You know, when warning signs come up, we ought to know something. Here's what she said. Tell me, I pray thee, where is thy great strength lieth? Now, if she'd have stopped there, you might have thought, well, she just wants to be impressed and wants to know how I do these mighty, mighty feats. But listen what she says. She was very plain. She says, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. She stated her purpose. She told him, this is the reason we want to know your strength, so that we might bind you and so that we may afflict you. Understand, no matter how sensual, how delicate the adversary comes to you, he's still coming to steal, to kill, and destroy you. No matter how polite, no matter how delectable, he's begin to speak to us. So she told him, this is what we want to do. Where's your strength? She begins to tell her, you know, and we're not going to read, you can read that for yourself. First of all, he tells her this, oh, just get these withes, he said, seven green withes that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. In other words, he begins to tell her something that is not true. And if he should have learned his lesson, he should have learned his lesson when she allowed that to happen to him, even though that's wasn't where the secret of his strength lies. So when they came on, she said, the Philistines, you know, he just kind of tore those things apart. But he got closer and closer to the real truth. Each time he was just a little bit more informative to where his strength came from. Finally, he was overcome by whatever, her persistency. And the reason the Bible says, tells us in verse number 16, and it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death. Have you ever been persuaded when to start with you came up with every kind of excuse in the world, and then you just got tired of hearing it? You say, okay, honey, I'm going to do it. Yeah, they have a way. We have a way. People have a way of pressing and pressing and pressing, and this is exactly what Delilah did. Now, we can look at it because we're Monday night, our Monday morning quarterbacks. We can look back. Samson, why in the world? Didn't you see the alarms? Didn't you see the warning signs? Don't you know that she was out to get you and turn you over to the Philistines, and you told her your secrets? Why would you do that? When many times, if we're very honest with ourselves, we have listened to Satan more than we need to, especially when he begins to entice us, when he begins to tell us something our itchy ears want to hear, or begins to condone something in our life that we know that the Bible explicitly tells us we should not do that or not go there or not say that. The devil says, didn't he do the same thing to Adam and Eve? Didn't he do the same thing to Eve? You surely won't die. And I'm sure he didn't say it in a gruff, aggravating voice. He said it in a very alluring, very enticing way, the way that Satan comes And I believe that Satan is using this form of manipulation, this form of enticing in the world today. You see it today. You know, I've heard people say everything that used to be wrong is now right. No, it's not. It may be according to society, but it's not according to the Word. If it was wrong then, it's wrong now. Amen. The Bible is not going to change for any society. It's not going to change for any generation. But the adversary comes and says, oh, well, no, it's not that bad. Can I get an amen? It's not that bad. Everybody else is doing it. You know, and after a while, it's over and over and over again, you know, the pressing on you, and finally, not just you, but in the world and society and people today, finally they say, okay. You know, they give in, as Samson did. The enemy's objective, I want you to understand, it was very clear, very concise. It wasn't a long, drawn-out thing. It's very manipulated and very in order exactly what the enemy wanted to do. First of all, entice him. You understand, they could not have done anything before they was able to entice him. Satan's not going to be able to get you your frame of mind or your spirit or anything until he hits you with something that is enticing to you. Something that gets your attention, something that your flesh would like, something that your eyes of flesh might like, something in your life, amen, that maybe you know that this is detrimental, this is not what I need to be doing, this is not pleasing unto God, but that's exactly what the adversary comes and begins to entice you with. Now, as far as the enticing it, he had not succumbed yet, okay? He had not given her his secret. But here's the problem. He kept listening. And the plot thickened. Every time he gave her a little bit more detail. Until finally, he revealed to her where his strength lied. Secondly, the enemy's objective is to prevail against him. She told him, this is what we want to do. We don't know where your strength comes from, so that we can bind you and afflict you. And listen, folks, he still listened. Well, we can really put Samson down for this. Wake up, Samson. Don't you know what she's trying to do? But think about it. Many times when that adversary comes against us, we begin to listen maybe a little bit more than we need to. And what we say the other day, it's not the big fat foxes, it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. So the third objective was to bind him. Do you understand that the adversary wants you bound? Not with physical things, but he wants to bind you in ways of spiritual. Things in your mind, things that come against you, anxiety, stress, manipulation, all of these things that come in the world today. Satan wants to bind you with those things. Why does he want you bound? Because he don't want you to have victory in your life. Understand, if you don't understand anything else about this story, understand this. The devil doesn't like you. He's not out for your good. He's out to kill, to steal, and destroy your life in any way that he possibly can. Now, is he going to work on everybody? Absolutely not. But he's going to keep trying, just like Delilah kept saying, well, you know, you're not telling me. You don't love me. You're not really being honest with me. After a while, he said, it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, his soul was vexed unto death. Then he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not a razor come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like other men. And we say, Samson, why in the world did you tell her all of that? What do we say? TMI? That's too much information. You know, and we're innocent sometimes when we do this, but we know that Satan's always out to get us, right? He doesn't love you. Only God loves you. God loves you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But the devil has always been out to rob and to kill and destroy your soul in any way that he possibly can. So when he comes, he's listening to ways that he can entice you. Sometimes we help him out. We help him out by saying things like, you know what really gets on my nerves? And the devil says, tell me. You know what I can't stand? How about this one? You know what really upsets me? You know, and here comes the enticer. And he's writing those things down. You know, this is hypothetically. But he's using those things against you. I will assure you, if you let Satan know the very thing that upsets you most, that's the biggest thing you're going to have to deal with, just probably on a daily basis, if not at least several times a week. Because you just told him what upsets you. You just told him what you can't stand. You just told him what aggravates you. So he uses those things. And Samson knew their objective. Don't we know sometimes, and we still get caught in that trap, and the adversary comes and entices us when he comes and lies to us? Father of all lies, the great deceiver, whatever you want to refer to him as, he's constantly trying to trip us up. And he teased him at first. I'm okay, you know, I can get through this. I'm good. I'm not going to tell her all that stuff. I can get through. You know, I'll just kind of give her a little something, just kind of, you know, see what they do. And you know, when he did that, and sure enough, here come the Philistines in on him, he should have known then, you know what, this is not going to end well. Have you ever had that feeling, not raise your hand, not nod your head? This is not going to end well. I need to put a stop to this now. I need to make sure that I'm praying to God. God, protect me from this. Keep me from going down that slippery slope. Keep me, God, from stepping in that quicksand or that quickmire or whatever it is that Satan sets out a trap for us, constantly trying to trap us, trying to trip us up, trying to cause confusion in our life. So he teased him at first, but Delilah pressed him with her words daily, and he finally told her his heart. Somebody should have got a message to Samson. Samson, don't fall for this. You know better. You can't divulge your power and your strength. Because you know what? As long as he was obedient unto God, they could not do anything to him. Every time they would try to bind him, he'd just burst loose. Isn't that wonderful to know? And that's encouraging to us. If we'll stay true to God, everything that Satan binds us with, amen, through the power of God, we can break free. Shook himself. Why? Because that power of God was there to help him, to strengthen him. So when the adversary comes, and he will, in many different forms, in many different ways, understand, first of all, recognize him. Secondly, know that he doesn't like you. That's as plain as I can say it, because so many people think that this adversary is a great friend. No, he's not. There is nothing friendly about him. There is nothing lovely about him. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. He's a manipulator. He's out to kill, steal, destroy you, and upset you in any way that he possibly can, whether it's working through people, whether it's working through situations or problems or sickness or affliction or whatever the case may be. We got to understand to recognize him, put him in his place, and defeat him, and put our faith in God and a never-failing God, amen, by the way, that won't leave us and won't forsake us. In fact, will always be there with us. Aren't you thankful for the promises of God? There's so many promises in there. So promise said, you know, that I will make a way when there seemeth no way. I will stay closer than a brother. You know, I will lead you and guide you in the paths of righteousness. Amen. You know, if you believe in me, all things are possible. So many wonderful promises. So we don't need to be deceived by the adversary. We need to understand who he is, what he's out for, and he's always out for no good. Amen. As the story goes, you knew he was a snake when you picked him up. Amen. Leave him alone. Rebuke him. Amen. Go on his merry way. Say, no, Satan. Amen. My strength is not in myself. My strength is not in my knowledge. My strength is not in my talent. My strength is in Almighty God. And the Satan, you can't come against the power of God. Amen. Nothing can stand against the power of Almighty God. Do you love the Lord tonight? Are you thankful that he's with you? Aren't you thankful that he's always leading us and guiding us? Amen. God bless you. I want you to understand, if he comes knocking at your door, don't answer. Amen. Send him on his merry way. It's not going to work, Satan. It's not going to work. I'm not talking to you. You know, you have these little things on your phone sometimes now that if you put it on there, it's spam. When they call, you don't even have to answer the phone anymore. You know, that's what I want spiritually. When Satan begins to call me or come against me, you know, I just want that's the deceiver. That's the enticer. I'm not going to listen to him. I'm not even going to talk to him. Amen. I ain't got time for you, devil. Amen. And we don't. How many knows that we got time? We ain't got time for the devil. We got time that we need to worship and glorify and praise God and walk by faith and not by sight. God bless you. Would you stand tonight? Put your hands together for Jesus. Amen. He's worthy of all of our praise. Amen. If, in fact, you have a need tonight, this altar is open. Would you come and we'll pray with you, pray for you, whatever the case may be. We know that prayer, amen, is a wonderful weapon that we have to combat the evils of Satan and that adversary. And, you know, I was thinking this week, the Bible, Jesus himself said, not only pray, but watch and pray. Amen. We need to watch the things that are happening in the world, not get caught up in those things and not get let those things overwhelm them, but watch and pray. But always pray. Amen. Pray, because that's the greatest weapon that we have as mere mortals, amen, to combat the devil and all of his wiles. All right. Brother Jim, if you'd come, dismiss us with a word of prayer. God bless you. It's already been announced that we're having Vacation Bible School next week. Sunday night is a kickoff. So Sunday morning will be regular Sunday school and worship service, but Sunday night will be the kickoff for Vacation Bible School. Looking forward to a great time.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise. Hallelujah. I know I just love his word. Love the message tonight, each and every message we do. So as we prepare to depart and get ready for everything going on, like I said, don't forget, and as Brother Eddie mentioned, also Sunday school. We want to do a Sunday school drive. So if you would invite somebody to come with you, we'll just get them active in Sunday school, from the little ones all the way up to the elders. Praise God. All hearts and minds clear. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am. Come on up. Yes, ma'am.
Sure.
Absolutely.
For your sister.
Father, in the name of God, for sister. Father, whatever she's facing, God, we know that you're great. You're more powerful, God, and I pray right now that you would honor the faith. God, reach out to her right now. Touch her, heal her, strengthen her, and anoint her right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, God. Father, we're praying for a complete anointing, God. Heal her and strengthen her body in the precious name of faith. All it
does. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to you. Praise them.
Praise God. What a blessing it is when we just know that the freedom that we can come to the Lord in prayer and seek him in each and every situation that we go through. Don't forget all the announcements. And like I said, if all hearts and minds are clear, we'll go ahead with this prayer and be dismissed. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for the message tonight, dear Lord. May we not be deceived, dear Lord. May we put you first and let you shine the light on every situation that's around us, dear Lord. May we walk in your light. Lord, we love and we praise you, Lord. We thank you for each and every one here. Again, for those watching online and each and every prayer request has been put in the comment section. Lord, we lift them up to you. Lord, we love and we praise you. We thank you for the healing that you're performing right now. And Lord, for touching the families in each and every situation. And we give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Have a wonderful Sunday morning.